Hi, this is John Amundson. I want to welcome you to our next podcast, the next podcast, in a series of podcasts presented for you by the Psychology Association of Alberta. The purpose of the podcast is to present information as timely, topical, and even controversial to the membership. In a recent online edition of the Association for Psychological Science, there was a whole section dedicated to looking at myths and common misconceptions that are related to psychology. And I thought that would be a good thing to do today, and so I led in with Willie Dixon's song, Ain't Superstitious, meaning that many times the conduct of the general public and our conduct within our discipline is based on superstition. That is, some ideas that have a certain practical currency, but don't reflect real evidence or truth. One of the guys in the article that's really cool, a person that I've had an intellectual crush on for many years, is Scott Lilienfeld. And of course, if you follow his stuff, he kind of walks into every possible area of clinical practice to determine if what we believe is so or what we believe ain't so. So in just a second then, let's go on with the podcast and we'll get into... the first article that they provided in this particular special online edition of APS was the debunking of learning styles. For years and years and years and years, educational psychology has been preoccupied with learning styles. And as a matter of fact, no less than 71 different models of learning styles have been proposed over the years. That's from the article. Quote, when they looked at this and published their results, Psychological Science and Public Interest, a journal for the Association for Psychological Science, they reviewed the existing literature on learning styles and even these ones that are purported to show the evidence of different kinds, such as auditory learners, visual. We all know this, right? We've all heard this, those of us in clinical practice and educational practice, kinesthetic learners, et cetera, et cetera. The studies claiming to support these, very few of them used a proper research design such that, even though they've reported positive results for their approach to learning styles, that would be acceptable to us as psychologists. Often for those of us who work in some areas of forensics, you'll have someone say, I interviewed the children. I could tell they were telling the truth. And then they'll talk about nonverbal mannerisms that a child displays, which they purport to purport as providing credibility to a child's statements. In some research that came out of Germany, I think Australia, and British Columbia, the researchers determined that verbal presentation is much more useful than nonverbal methods that are commonly believed to be effective. We have, in fact, been critical of reports done on children where it is, again, purported by the investigator that the mannerism in which the child presented is entirely consistent with truth. So verbal, greater than nonverbal. And verbal means how are they telling it? Are they able to provide details? Are they able to cover the ground again without distortions, elaborations, or missteps? On a matter that I've attended to in other podcasts, which is brain training, a group of a Blue Ribbon Committee, having to look at, you know, Florida State University, Michigan State, Union College, some health system, people in the UK, on and on. These guys examined 132 articles that purport to support support brain training. In my other podcasts, I've looked at the brain training issue, and that can be summarized very, very simple. The brain training can help you with a specific skill. So, for example, if you stack things, arrange them, you'll get better at stacking and arranging things through the games and the methods that are employed in brain training. But in fact, it does nothing for overall brain training. The way I've spoken of it is this: the brain is like an orchestra, and brain training often emphasizes playing the flute, playing the bass or playing the viola. But it has nothing to do with tuning the orchestra in a general sense. So you might be really, really good at one thing, but it has nothing to do with what really people are seeking, which is overall better operation of the brain. Continuing swimming up this particular river, there's another myth that that this article seeks to debunk, is brain stimulation technique. Transcranial direct current stimulation has become a kind of a popular thing out there, and it suggests, I'm not going to use a P word anymore, I'm going to try not to, it suggests that using this benefit cognition, but it's cognitive training, makes your brain work better, your cognitive ability increases. So there's a research project that was undertaken, 123 healthy adults between 65 and 75 years old, looking, you know, at that to sort of arrest or abate age-related cognitive decline. They all did this, 25 minutes to the dorsal lateral prefrontal cortex, and your brain plays a central role in working memory. And then they had, of course, a control group, sham feedback, and sadly, there was no evidence that TDCS, that's the acronym or the way they describe transcranial direct current stimulation, there was no evidence that it added any benefit to the working memory training group. Now, this is in relation to working memory, which is a good measure for those of us who are of age. My cognitive decline has been I don't often remember names, and then I leave the garage door open. In another myth-busting area of research, a guy named Bianchi looked at whether or not the millennials are more self-centered and narcissistic. Each generation looks back and says, yeah, they're much more this than we were. However, initial research that did show that there was a greater sense of narcissism in millennials has been tempered. What this researcher found was that people who come of age, that is 18 to 24, stepping out into the world, people who step out into the world during times of greater prosperity are more narcissistic, but those that step out into the world during economic downturns are less. So their research is indicating that unemployment rates in young adulthood, for example, have a very powerful effect on narcissism, though differential, harder on men than harder on women. However, the idea that millennials are more narcissistic does not hold up to scrutiny given the other parameters of economic opportunities reflected in employment. In the United States, in an attempt to shore up, hang on to, or preserve the gun rights issue, individuals are turning to the mental health question. Trump, these people are crazy, and you hear that from the NRA. Yes, these are bad, crazy people. Hence the slight nudge toward greater background checks. However, this issue is spurious. After the Sandy Hook shooting of the children, the executive director of APA was on PBS and actually pandered to this, didn't point out that there is a very weak connection between formal thought disorders, schizophrenia and psychoses, psychoses in general, and violence, that there's a very weak connection there. Also, this is a little bit beyond. I'm challenging the myth that yes, if we can just pick the guys out that are going to shoot, there's no sense of what that criteria would be. Would it be if they were on psychoactive drugs? Would it be by the kind of psychoactive drugs they're on? The idea that it will be related to formal thought disorder is very, very weak. In this study, they looked at violent episodes. These are repeat offenders, people who have had an episode of violence. And they found that There were those who at no point experienced psychosis before violence, 80% of the sample, and those who occasionally experienced psychosis, 15%, and this is their word. Thus, the popular conception of a violent criminal experiencing psychotic episodes prior to committing violent acts is actually rather rare, characterizing only 1 in 20 episodes of repeat offenders. Hence, there's no evidence for a subgroup with exclusively psychosis-preceded violence, the authors conclude. So, again, there is a myth that there is a formal thought disorder associated with acts of violence, and by extension, we can speak about then gun violence. Finally, another myth is a link between mood disorders and creativity, the image of the troubled artist. And a graduate student, her name is Taylor, did a systematic review and meta-analysis of the research on mood disorders and creativity and found absolutely no link between them. So the idea that because he, she, they are creative, it gives them an excuse to be to experience anxiety or depression are worse. You know, the kind of negativistic expressions of the sullen artist. There is no basis for that. Okay. So you know, why would this kind of stuff be important to take a look at what becomes sort of a courant belief? Lilienfeld has said he did a survey of introductory psychology students, and he found that 65% of students report believing the strange behaviors are more common when there's a full moon. 77% believe that people with schizophrenia have multiple personalities, and 44% believe that people behave like robots under hypnosis. So these beliefs that are out there in the atmosphere, so to speak, need to be challenged. And so that's what this podcast was about, and especially about these four or five areas that I spoke about. And we ought to, you know, go forth not advancing things like, oh boy, I'm going to get in trouble with this one. But, you know, there's all this kind of neurofeedback now. It used to be called biofeedback. Give it a new name, remarket it. So neurofeedback, the synchronizing of the hemispheres, and that certain wires on the brain in the hands of modestly trained clinicians will be able to tell us a lot about attachment and all that kind of stuff. Well, it's not that we say that's untrue. It's that we say, how will we know when and if it is true? And it's important for us to do something that's in this song that's going to march us out.
But here's what I want you all to do for me. Bang! Caught you looking for the same thing. It's a new thing. Check out this I bring. Uh-oh, the roll below the level because I'm living low next to the base.
Come on!
Turn up the radio. They're claiming I'm a criminal. But now I wonder how. Some people never know. The enemy could be the friend guardian. I'm now a hooligan. I rock the party and clear all the madness. I'm not a racist priest to teach the
officer. Cause they never had this.
Number one, never wanna run about the gun. I wasn't licensed to have one. The minute they see me, fear me. I'm the epitome of public enemy. Used, abused, without clues. I refuse to blow a fuse. They even had it on the news.